Hello, queers and peers, and welcome to your space, Closet Takes, with your hosts, Franco and Gabe.
We invite you each week to come inside and talk life, millennial problems, and more, but keeping it gay.
Now join us in the closet,
where we always have space for you. Hello, queers and peers. Welcome.
Hi. I'm glad we're starting because I was just being attacked right now by Franco.
Why?
Because of what I just said.
Oh. I was like, why? I'm like, every time you start, you always say that I'm always attacking.
I mean, it's not wrong.
Our listeners are going to think I'm the villain here, and I'm not.
Well, because I was just talking about how I was like, oh, you know, I was like, I just, well, first of all, I was checking to see when summer was over.
Yeah. So that you can be like, oh, it's almost the end of summer.
Yeah. I was going to be like, oh, happy almost end of summer or whatever. Because to me, summer ends in August. Yes, it does.
Does it? It's still hot.
For who does summer go into September for? Because for everybody it ends in fucking August. People start, like, if they're going to college, they start packing up, getting ready to leave. People move away, people start school.
Oh, that's gonna be my sister.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
school used to not start in August, right?
No, it did not.
You start like in September, right? Like September, the second week of September.
I remember starting after September, like after Labor Day.
Yeah, like the second week
of September. You know, Pretty Little Liars is my reference because when did they start school in that pilot? They started it after Labor Day.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But like I said, summer does not go into September for anybody. I don't know. It's over. It's unofficially over in August.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then that means it'll be your era because it'll be fall.
It'll be time for us fall and...
Fall lovers?
Wait, I have a question. This is probably going to be stupid.
There are no stupid questions here.
Are you sure? I'm all going to look like an idiot.
Go ahead.
What's the difference between autumn?
Autumn and fall? What?
Are they the same thing?
They're synonyms.
Got it. Because I always hear autumn and
synonyms.
I'm like...
Synonyms.
Right.
Maybe I'll get you a thesaurus.
No, it's just... It's not popular to call it autumn, right?
I don't think so.
I hear most people call it fall.
Right. I've never...
Is autumn more like a East Coast thing, maybe?
I feel like autumn is when you want to be like more aesthetic.
Right.
You're like, oh, autumn vibes.
The autumn breeze.
Because if bitches want to feel more special, like they don't want to be like, oh, fall. Everybody says the word fall. I'm like, no, bitch, I'm not living my fall fantasy. I'm living my autumn fantasy.
Call it like it is if you want to be a white bitch. You want to be a...
That's... Autumn is when you want to live, laugh, love it.
Exactly.
It's the live, laugh, loving of seasons.
Yeah,
you
don't
say
yeah.
Fall, you say autumn.
Autumn. I'm an autumn girl. Oh, all the autumn girls and all the autumn gays are going to come out and, you know, do their thing.
When?
In the fall.
Oh, yeah.
I said autumn, so obviously in the fall.
You know what else? I could have swore this happened last year where I remember that Starbucks... Didn't they start? I think they started offering their pumpkin spice latte in September.
Yeah.
See? Yeah. And everybody was like, oh, summer's over.
Girl.
I remember people were saying like, oh, summer's over because Starbucks already started offering pumpkin spice lattes.
But here's the thing. You can't base it off of like,
hey, this country
company
is run on capitalism.
Yeah.
So if Starbucks is declaring
okay. So I'm going to get you here. So then I can start with my Christmas stuff because clearly people are going to start talking about Christmas, right?
I mean,
stores are going to start putting Christmas up in October. So I can start celebrating Christmas in October, right?
Bitch, you already celebrating Christmas.
Okay, but I can start. So then I can start without being judged because according to you, we run on capitalism.
I mean,
so I should hear zero judgment. Okay, so now y'all hear that if y'all hear him dragging me about Christmas and me talking about Christmas and me being all happy about Christmas in September, y'all can drag his ass, because clearly he's talking about real capitalistic. Really growing, how's capitalism working out for you? Are you stressed? Are you living your best life?
Franco is already, he's already in the Christmas spirit. This bitch will like literally be, show me, or he'll be scrolling on TikTok. And then next thing I know, I hear Christmas music. And this bitch is watching a Christmas live.
A Christmas live.
Like it's somebody like by a campfire or like with some kind of
Christmas. It's not Christmas, even a campfire.
Shut up.
It's by a Christmas tree.
It's like some kind of Christmas background. You know, they're giving you the whole fantasy and he's just vibing to the Christmas.
I'm vibing. Yeah. Don't hate on the Christmas.
So are you one of those people that will listen to All I Want for Christmas Is You and like any time of the year? Mama, you give Mariah her check any time of the year?
Mama, I have a Christmas playlist that I'll play in the middle of summer and I can give no fucks.
Mariah can count on you for her coin.
Yeah. Anytime Mariah, of the year. I got you, girl. January through December, I got you.
You're writing the check.
I'm writing the check. I'm giving her some. Here's the thing. I may or may not listen to the song more than once in one car ride.
What the fuck?
Like on repeat.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry. I love Christmas.
You are always ready for Christmas.
I'm ready.
You know what's not ready though? My wallet. My wallet is never ready for Christmas.
Oh, it's never ready. It's never ready. If you grew up Latino, Mexican, just growing up, the fact that I grew up Mexican, your wallet never has enough.
No, it really doesn't.
It's never enough. That's why I'm trying to get my family to join in on the... Well, we've done gift exchange the past few years, but...
I still want to do a white elephant.
But you can't do that with Mexican family.
No.
People are petty.
I feel like
people
I
are petty.
I have to do that with like a group of people. Yeah. Anybody out there, if you want to join in, I was like...
If you want to join the Closet Takes...
Maybe if we have any like listeners here in California, because girl, how are we gonna do it? How would you even do it?
We can finally get our Patreon started, and then have like a Zoom call. You know?
But the point is that like when you do a white elephant, it's like everybody brings something.
Right. If all the listeners can have a gift.
Just boxes, like everybody like sends.
Yeah, they can send it to us. I'm not like I'm gonna keep them.
Yeah.
You know, and be like, oh, you get to choose the first gift.
That'd be funny.
That'd be cool.
I feel like that'd be a lot of fine tuning, but I think that'd be so funny.
That'd be fun.
I feel like it'd be so funny to do. I always wanted to do that, but nobody's ever down.
Yeah.
And not only that, but I think you need a large group for that.
Yeah.
Well, you need like a decent size. You don't want to do it with just like five people.
Why not? If they bring five gifts, bitch, I'm a steal. It don't matter.
I think you need a group.
Okay.
I think you need like at least eight to make it fun.
Whatever. You're the Grinch.
The point is that
you can steal. You're the Grinch. What would you know about Christmas? You know nothing about Christmas.
If you guys think Franco's gay enough already as it is, you have not seen him in his Christmas gig. This bitch likes to go out. Like, you ever seen Christmas with the Cranks? Like, if Franco had the budget, that's the kind of shit they'd be on.
No. You know the shit I'd be on? If anybody's ever watched Just Friends.
I remember I had not watched that movie till you showed me.
The girl and her dad, like, he goes all out with the Christmas decorations every year.
Uh-huh.
That'd be me. That would be me.
Yeah. You'd be like on some Home Alone budget. Isn't that like they have like the really nice lights?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe you should not come into money. You should not come into money. Because you're just going to be so extra.
Should I come on my sock?
Just, you don't need the budget.
I don't need the budget.
No.
Okay. Well, then
let's keep the production low budget.
Okay.
Let's keep it indie.
Okay.
Let's not give you a blockbuster budget.
Okay. We'll give you like,
you're getting a straight to DVD budget.
I'm getting a YouTube.
You're getting the Chucky treatment. You know, they started releasing the movie straight to Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But
oh, that reminds me. You know how we're like starting to plan, or like Franco already wants us to look ahead to Halloween and like the episodes there.
Mm-hmm. We got to do our research and all the fun stuff to make the episodes cool. Because yeah. One, we need to make sure that the episodes are good because it's gonna be our 1 year anniversary.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
We started in October, bitch, and we need to deliver.
I'm not one to memorize things, so.
Well. You heard it here, guys. He doesn't care about you guys.
Oh my god.
And
I think it's more so the fact that I can't believe, like, I think how fast time goes. Like, I don't know. It just feels like not even that long ago, to be honest. I mean, does it feel like it would be almost a year approaching already?
Yeah.
That doesn't feel like it to me.
Yeah, it does.
I think it's one of those things where, like, the days just kind of blend together and I don't know.
Okay. Well, you know. It is what it is. I just want to give a shout out to our listener, Alex, because he sent me, I mean, I showed you, I sent it to you, that video of the theory about the Fairly Odd Parents.
Oh. Yeah, you just showed it to me like right before we started.
Yeah. I'll try to put it up on Instagram. The thing about Instagram is that if you can post a TikTok, and they take it down. I've tried posting multiple times on the Closet Takes Instagram, like a TikTok, and yeah. It'll say like, "Oh, you copyrighted," and I'm like,
"Oh, well." Let me tell you, as a creator myself,
okay,
I just recently started on my meme page. I recently started doing reels and stuff for bonuses. So I think they're trying to like reduce people just kind of posting TikToks onto Instagram. Cause you know how like, it's like the same format or whatever.
Yeah.
Cause it says something about like, oh, like, you know, in order to reduce or in order to encourage people to make quality content,
They're dragging TikTok. They said it's not quality. Well,
they basically saying like they don't want like logos or basically like that kind of stuff. Which obviously, like if it's TikTok, you know how TikTok videos when you download them or you save them, you know how it has the little like logo with the username.
Yeah,
it says TikTok.
Yeah. Oh.
So it says like they want to like reduce those kind of videos or those videos don't get pushed through, or they take them out.
Got it. Got it.
So they said they don't like your shit.
Okay. Well, fuck you,
Instagram. They said, fuck your TikTok video.
Fuck you, Instagram. Because, you know.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about Instagram these days.
They're homophobic, bitch.
You ever miss old Instagram, old IG? Or were you just never an Instagram kind of gal?
No.
I used to be. I feel like I used to be like, I don't know. I used to like to post on Instagram and then, I don't know. They just kind of lost me after like 2016, right? I don't think I really post anymore on Instagram. I just look at other people's pictures or like stories.
Or dicks.
Or in, yeah.
Yeah. Whore. Anyways, welcome everybody. It took a while. Our little intro always takes a while. We always like to get into our little
chit chats
and catching up and stuff. So hopefully it's been entertaining for you guys. So today's topic, I mean, I guess we should start with giving a trigger warning. You know, we're going to be talking about toxic relationships, you know, what comes with it. So if you guys have, you know, if you guys can't do it, I would suggest maybe going out to another episode, maybe go back and listen to some of our other episodes.
Yeah. I mean, it's just going to be like mentions of kind of our experiences, with like family, you know, just things that we've kind of...
Well, right, but I mean, we're still going to talk about toxic relationships and what comes with it.
Hold on. I'm just saying that, you know, things that we're going to be mentioning, like we're obviously going to be mentioning those kind of things, like talking about like emotional, physical abuse and just all those kind of things. So, you know, if anything like that is, you know, uncomfortable for you to be able to listen to, we just wanted to be able to give that warning up front.
Yeah. Yeah. And just so you guys know, we're going to try to keep it as light as possible. Obviously, this is Closet Takes. When do I take my fucking self seriously? And it's not to say that obviously toxic relationships and physical abuse is not a serious thing. It's just I'm the type of person that makes fun out of situations to make myself feel better. I find humor to be a way of healing myself. And yeah, so, you know, yeah. I'm going to try to make it as fun and as lighthearted as possible. Obviously, we're still going to hit some really difficult topics, but, you know, I'm still trying to make fun, like have fun. Yeah. I don't know if that made sense for you guys.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think we're talking again from our experiences, not only like from a societal standpoint, because we're going to also go there too, but just like, again, like more so within like our immediate environment, those kind of things. And so we've kind of personally seen some of these things growing up. And so, yeah, just wanted to put that out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and we might find some humor in it with our own experiences. So, that's why me and Franco we get along so well. And we, you know, did this podcast because, you know, we find humor in a lot of the things, a lot of the experiences, even though they're negative, we try to, you know, make it so that we can talk about it, but still, you know, make it light and being able to just kind of discuss these things openly.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's jump right in. And I want to start off with, I want to start by pointing the finger. I want to be like Jada Essence Hall and be like, look over there. And, you know, I want to start with celebrity relationships, toxic relationships. Some of the, you know, obviously some of the bigger ones, us growing up, obviously we are millennials. So we got to see some, I don't want to say iconic because obviously they're not iconic.
I would say like well-known, household name kind of, kind of a thing.
Yeah. And we're not going to discuss any of them. We're just going to mention them.
Yeah. I mean, this is not a trial. Obviously, we're not like,
I don't have the facts.
Not like everybody went that far with, you know, how their relationships played out.
Right.
But bitch, we're not laying out all the facts here. Or right. We're not, you know,
we're just going to honorably mention them. Chris Brown and Rihanna.
Girl, do you remember that whole relationship and that, how that played out?
It was crazy.
I remember, when that situation happened, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, if anybody didn't know, I mean, this was a huge story at the time. When did this happen? Do you know? Do you have the year?
No, ma'am.
Okay. I would say this was, I'm going to guess here and say this was like early 2010s.
Yeah, I was going to say like 2012.
I would say like 2011, 2012, maybe 2010.
Maybe.
Around there. You know, I think it was, I don't know if it was on the way to an award show or something. Chris Brown and Rihanna were together and he punched her.
Yeah.
Do you remember hearing about it first or did you see the pictures?
I think I heard about it first.
Yeah.
And I don't even think I probably have seen the pictures way later, but I don't think I even went looking for the pictures because I was just like, this is crazy.
Yeah. Well, because I'm just saying, because like, I know some people were like, when they were telling me about it, they showed you the picture. Yeah.
No, I remember just hearing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was just like, that's crazy.
Like, did you believe it at first? Or were you kind of like, what? Like, just like I know, not that you're like a fan or anything, but I'm just saying like,
yeah,
just the fact that like, I guess that it would happen to somebody, people of like a celebrity status.
It didn't shock me that it was celebrities, to be honest, because I mean, growing up, you're like, they're celebrities, but they're not gods, you know.
They're
not untouchable. They're people, and they're straight men at that point, you know. I was shocked because they obviously appeared like a happy couple,
mm-hmm.
which relationship doesn't seem like a happy couple?
Yeah,
you know. Liam Hemsworth and Miley Cyrus. I just remember them dating. I remember them being on and off, but I don't remember anything like toxic about them.
I don't think so. I don't think there was anything there.
I know they had like messy breakups. Yeah. Like they were on and off and stuff, but that's it. Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber. I remember them.
Was it toxic though?
Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember the details.
Yeah.
Or well, what happened? Do you just do you have a Cliff's Notes
version? I don't have a Cliff's Notes now.
I don't remember what specifically.
I don't remember exactly. I just remember I remember Justin was the messy one.
Yeah. I remember, there was something. There was something. It's going to come to me.
Which makes sense. This couple, obviously you have a lot of experience with, which, you know, I got home and you were watching this show and I'm just like, oh my fucking God, like I hate this show.
I would say this was in prep because like, I think this is one of the, because I know where you're going with this. This is like one of the moments that I feel like you really like needed to see.
I don't think I needed to see that.
Just to like understand, like
I understand like it without.
Well, first mention it because we're just saying, just mention what it is.
Ron and Sammy, right?
Yeah,
from Jersey Shore.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they, first of all, it lasted a long time because I know even after they did like, I don't know how many fucking seasons they did.
I think the show went on, I think, for 6 seasons, and they were together for like 3.5 or 4 of them.
Oh, they weren't together the other rest?
I don't think so.
The 6 seasons, does that include the reunion one or no?
No, that's not. Oh. Well, that's the original season. The original series.
The original series.
That's not they including did, they did what six they're doing seasons? Now. Yeah. But yeah. So yeah, they had one of the, like the biggest
and toxic they were together relationships. For three?
Yeah.
They did the seasons?
Yeah, which is like in the span of like a year and a half or 2 years.
3 seasons was a year and a half?
Yeah, because they always, it's the timeline is like weird because they always, like, I'm watching the show and they're mentioning how like, oh, Miami was 6 months ago. But then they're on the third season already. So it's like, I think they're filmed like every 6 months. They film a new season.
Got it.
Every 6 to 8 months, maybe.
Got it.
So there's not that much time lapse between one and then the other.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of the show.
So I know. You know. But I just wanted to like mention that one because that is like one of the biggest public displays of like a toxic relationship.
Yes. Yes. And the fact that
this was on a reality TV program. So this was like being seen by not only like, you know, the whole country, but like this is like a worldwide show. This is MTV.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So this was put out like all over the world. So like imagine like your whole relationship, you know, nobody would ever, you know, wants everybody in their relationship business, but like the fact that to be put out there on TV.
Yeah. You know, the fact that I mean you were showing me this scene and I was like, he's about to cry, isn't he? He's about to fucking cry.
For reference, this is I'm talking about season 3, where I think it's episode 7, where Ronnie, like, you know, starts blowing up and he trashes all of Sam's things.
He acts like a fucking man child.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the fact that I didn't have to know much about it to just see and know the pattern, and I was like, oh, this is what's gonna happen, and this is gonna happen, and this, and it's like it's a domino effect.
You felt like a coach on the field, like, oh, this is the play by play.
It's ridiculous. And one of the things that I kind of brought up to you, I was like, and the fact that the producers are watching this happen,
mm-hmm.
and they're just like, well, let it happen.
Yeah.
For the sake of TV.
For the sake of making a good reality TV show. Yeah. Like for the ratings.
Right. So fuck this girl's mental health.
Yeah.
It's fuck this crazy. Girl's life, which I'm pretty sure they were probably pressuring her to come back.
I think so too.
You know, yeah. Obviously they're not going to show that, but they probably hit her up like, hey, come on, you need to come back to the show.
I mean, by that point they were making thousands of dollars right. per episode.
Right.
So it's kind of like, hey, for the sake of, you know, in their minds, probably like, hey, for the sake of TV, like, let's get you back.
Yeah.
Or this is your dramatic return.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, like that was, that moment was, I think me as a viewer, like, I think when I watched that, I was like, I want to say, I think maybe I was like 17,
mm-hmm.
in my teens.
Right.
And I think watching that moment on TV, I was like, whoa, like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah,
I kind of felt like, am I seeing the same thing that everybody else is seeing? Like nobody thought to even stop this man.
And the guys too, the other guys, Mike, Vinny, Polly,
yeah,
all these Italian guys that are all about, like, all about family, and they love their mamas and shit, their mama's boys. But yeah, you sat there and watched a woman get abused. Like, how is that okay?
Yeah.
How is that fucking okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that people watch this even makes me more upset. The fact that people watch this show, which is why it continued. It kept getting views because people liked it. And you're one of the problems.
I know.
You're one of the problems. Yeah. And it's disgusting. It's like kind of like the same thing. Yeah. I have the same issue with like the Kardashians. Like, why are they still famous? Because obviously people watch their show. So it's like,
mm-hmm.
you're part of the problem.
And I think, like, isn't it crazy how like perception plays a lot into, like, I don't know, like the opinion that people had on like that relationship. Like, for some people, they put a lot of the blame on her. Because they're like, oh, like, well, she's crazy and all this stuff, da 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 da. You know what I mean? Like, so they were putting, like, it's like kind of like, well, I mean, I would say more so like a lot of men and anything, but even some women too, you know?
Right.
It's kind of like, well, it's the woman's fault.
Right.
You know? Which like, is... or like, they didn't see it as like her, they didn't see it as like, oh, she spiraled in response to like everything that this man did to her.
Right.
It was kind of like, oh no, she's just crazy.
She's just crazy.
Or she's whatever.
She's jealous.
Yeah.
She has,
or like, she's got problems.
She's got, yeah, yeah, yeah. 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 And again, this is what bothers the fuck out of me. The fact that people saw and nobody did anything.
Yeah. It's kind of, it was really sad.
Clearly it wasn't if you kept watching the show.
My gosh, you're gonna keep on that.
Listen,
I mean, that wasn't the whole aspect of the show,
Mama. But if you see a problematic thing, it's like, oh, you know what? I'm not gonna support it. Everybody else can support it. I'm not gonna support it because, listen, like, this is problematic. And if everybody did that, then the show would have got canceled, and that poor girl would have not had to deal with it. And the fact that there was a reunion, and they brought her back, right?
I don't know. I mean, they continued with more seasons. Or the, you talking about
the reunion,
the show that
the, yeah, that the reunion, oh, the new vacation one. Whatever. I don't know what the fuck it's called. I said the reunion.
Yeah. Well, she didn't come back. She chose not to come back.
Good.
After everything, she's basically done. Sammy is done with the show.
Thank God.
I think she made an appearance one or two episodes. Like, she came in like as like a visitor. She wasn't mm-hmm. like a cast.
Yeah.
Or anything like that.
Yeah.
So she's just living her life. I think she's engaged or something. And she's just kind of off and good. She's happy with not being on the show.
Didn't something come out about that guy that he's like a coke user or something? Or
are you talking about Ron?
Yes, that thing. I don't like that man. That man, listen, it upsets me. Okay? It upsets me. Whatever. We're moving on. Moving on from that thing because... whatever. It just, as someone that saw physical abuse, I just do not like those kind of men. And they bother me and they disturb me, and they deserve a special place in hell.
I was gonna say, like, when I was showing you the scene, I was like, the fact that like there's that look,
the crazy look.
Yeah,
the crazy look that I'm pretty sure is universal to all these crazy men, because
mm-hmm.
I've seen it before on people that I know.
Would you say it's kind of like a signature thing, or like not like a, or like a universal kind of thing? Like,
yeah,
there's like a glance, or there's like the,
yeah,
what do they call it, how do people say it, like a
glare,
glazed, like a glazed look, like a
glazed look. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just no.
Yeah,
no. So again, MTV should not even be a thing.
Like, can you imagine if that something like that would have aired like today? I think the response would have been obviously a lot different.
Yeah.
That, well, that, and also the fact that I think that was still early days of internet.
Yeah.
Early days of media.
Yeah.
Social media.
Yeah.
So people weren't as connected, so I don't think people really like made as, it wasn't as accessible to make as much like uproar about a situation.
Right. 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 But yeah, I mean, like I said, I already hate the show to begin with. Just the guys irritate me.
Yeah.
I love the girls. The girls seem like they're fun. But the guys,
yeah.
I mean, I think there's the one time I came home and I turned on the TV and there was that scene with, who was it? Who said it? Pauly? Was it Pauly D? Who said something about studying?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what did he say?
You said that, I think he said something about,
they need to be studying my dick or something? Or
yeah, well, he didn't want a girl that was studying. He's like, I don't want a girl that's studying for finals. Something about studying his dick, or he said, yeah, something.
Yeah,
I'm basically like,
of course,
like a smart girl is not attractive,
basically. Yeah, of course, of course his straight ass would say that. I don't like the show.
Never catch you watching Jersey Shore.
Never. You've tried pitching it to me,
you know,
multiple times, and it just does not attract me.
If you guys
old friends try to pitch it to me,
our friend Diana.
No,
she also watched the show.
Yeah, but she tried pitching it to me too, and no, I don't think she ever pitched it to me. No,
we liked it.
Yeah, it was our other friends, our unmentionables.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They tried selling
unmentionables.
They tried selling it to me, and I was like, no, ma'am, absolutely not. They tried selling Glee, and they sold me on it because of Blaine.
You know. Just because we're talking about Jersey Shore.
What?
And just to give us a little break here, or like, you know, just a little. I used to really feel my Jersey Shore fantasy really hard. Do you remember when I lived with our unmentionable friends?
Yeah.
You were living away at the time, but I used to talk about like how like, we were so excited because we were living in our first apartment together, and I used to be like, oh, we're going to do it like Jersey Shore. I'd be like, this is going to be like our Sunday dinners. I felt the Jersey Shore too much.
What is it? GTL?
Gym Tan Laundry.
Yeah. I remember you used to be all about the gabs here, and I'm like, oh my fucking God, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. You're so cringe. Listen.
You've known me through a lot of eras.
Through a lot of disturbing eras, and I'm glad that you finally stuck with one that's not disturbing. Because remember your planking one, too?
Oh, God.
Not cute. To all our listeners out there.
I think I still have those pictures on Facebook. My planking pictures.
Why it was a thing, I have no idea.
I don't know.
Somebody probably saw a dead body once and was like, that looks kind of cute. I'm just going to lay like a dead body.
Somebody saw that and was like, yeah, that's cool.
That's aesthetic. That's the vibe I'm going for.
Yeah. We didn't know what we were doing.
I knew what I was doing.
Do you know?
Continue to know.
Sure.
Don't hate me because you hate me, bitch. I had very little cringe moments. Very little cringe. My biggest cringe is probably being a big Twilight fan.
At one point.
And even then, I was not that big.
And even then, I wasn't, because I was Team Jacob.
And even then, I wasn't even that big. Because there was literally people that would like wear the fangs.
Wait.
And the, yeah.
I mean, I guess I wouldn't even call it your most embarrassing era. Because you didn't even go that hard with it.
Yeah. I wasn't like the people that would wear the fangs and the remember when you wanted your Edward sweater or your jacket? Girl, see, you're cringe. You're cringe, girl.
I had asked my parents, I think, for one of those peacoat jackets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what's funny is that I started rocking the cutoff shorts before they were cool in Twilight.
Oh.
Because I cut my jeans into shorts because as a short person, the length of my jeans would always like hit the bottom. So then the bottom of the leg, there'd be like a hole in the most awkward place. I don't know if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so obviously I couldn't wear those jeans anymore. So I was like, well, then I might as well turn them into shorts. And I cut off the legs, you know.
So when you see them doing it in Twilight, you're like, so that, yeah. Bitch stole my look.
It's like, bitch stole my look. Who wore it best? I did. Anyways, let's get into our friggin' topic, because this is gonna be a good one. So growing up, did you ever see toxic relationships?
Who has time? I mean, unfortunately to say, I think a lot of the relationships that I saw my mom go through specifically were pretty much, for the most part, not the best relationships to be in. Okay. So, I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm putting my mom on blast or anything, but like all of her relationships have been bad. My mom has not been the best. So my mom and my dad were the first ones up. And they just, I don't even know how to describe their relationship, because it was just a lot. I would say it was just like more arguing than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Constant like arguments and yelling. That was like one of the biggest things that I remember growing up with, is, you know, constantly having to grow up with that. And I think what was worse was that the dynamic of their relationship would kind of like spill over, because like my mom would sometimes be upset about, you know, something my dad did or whatever it is the fuck they were arguing about at the time.
Right.
And like, so that would kind of set my mom off into like, kind of set her off into this, I don't want to say like a mood, but kind of like, it was kind of like those moments where you kind of knew your parent was upset.
Right.
And you would like avoid them.
Right.
I'm like, bitch, you're not going to catch me up. They're
like,
storm.
She would like lash out at you guys for something you guys didn't do.
Exactly.
Got it.
So I'm not trying to get caught up in this category 5 hurricane here. Like, I'm right in the eye of the storm. I was like trying to navigate my way around. Like,
yeah,
how do I not get caught up in this?
Right.
And even then, so, I mean, that just kind of goes on for years and years and years.
Right.
It honestly, I think it wasn't until I was like 10 years old that they kind of split up.
Okay.
And I think they split up for, I think, not only that reason, but I think my dad was also seeing like other, I think my dad cheated on her.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh my God, this really all played out.
Right.
And I'm just remembering my mom too, because like her response was, obviously she was mad, and I remember her, I think she got his clothes, and she got all his clothes in a bag, and she got some bleach or something, and like poured the bleach all over his clothes in the bag.
Oh my God.
And then drove to his work and like
dropped
his clothes off.
I cannot.
Did I ever tell you that story?
No.
No. Okay. Well, it's a first for you, and it's a first for everybody here on the podcast.
Yeah.
So you guys know the inside scoop. Yeah. So it's like that. Imagine like that's kind of like what I grew up with for
right
a lot of my time.
Yeah.
I mean, I there's obviously more, but I want to give you a shot, because my mom has obviously had multiple relationships, and I'll probably mention like the other one that was like the worst one, but I want to give you a shot, or give you a chance to share.
Okay. Well, I mean, obviously my parents split up. Um,
Did you not expect? I don't think Franco expected to be triggered today.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We gave a trigger warning to the audience. And
I didn't give a trigger warning to myself. Jesus Christ. Okay. So my parents got together really young. So my mom was a teen mom to begin with. She had me when she was 16. So what the fuck did they even know about love, right? So they got together. They obviously had to move in because obviously old mentality, you know, you got pregnant with the man. So you got to, you know, get with the man. But that wasn't a reason. I mean, that wasn't like pushed by my grandparents, because my grandma was like, if you don't want to stay with him, bitch, don't stay with him. Like, would you just come with us, you know? So when growing up from a really young age, I remember them fighting a lot. I remember my dad just always being drunk, and I remember my dad always hitting my mom. I think one of the earliest memories I have of my father is him actually hitting my mom and me stepping in and telling him, like, don't hit my mom.
Yeah.
And his response was like, well, I'm gonna fuck you up. And he hit me. I must have been, I don't know, probably 4 or 5, maybe. And so that's one of my biggest memory I have. And I just remember, like, me trying to wanting to step up and defend my mom, and I couldn't. So is that feeling of feeling defenseless but wanting to protect my mom? Yeah. You know, so I think that's one of the biggest relationships that I've seen my mom been that was toxic. I mean, obviously the abuse continued until I was like 7. I think she went through a lot, and she's told me her side. I've never been really interested in hearing my dad's side because.
Well, because, like, what could he say?
Right.
You know, because, like, well, what reasoning could you have? You know what
I mean? Given me a reason, because I've hung out with him a few times, and he said, you know, the drugs and the alcohol, you know, which is a real thing, and I understand that. But I don't know.
I think it's hard because you want, especially now, like, obviously you and I are older, right?
Right.
So a lot of this stuff is stuff we've seen as kids. And, you know, we are more aware of a lot of, like, the bigger factors that kind of come into play.
Right.
Because you and I now, we take into account, like, oh, you know, we are of a Mexican background.
Right.
We are, you know, you just kind of take, like, that, your role in the family, like, the family dynamics.
Nature versus nurture.
Right. And, like, you know, I mean, like, you know, your dad, you mentioned your dad talked about, like, drugs and alcohol, right, doing things like that.
Yeah.
You start remembering, like, okay, like, how are minorities affected by,
right,
drug and alcohol,
exactly,
abuse.
Exactly.
So it's kind of like, okay, what, I want to give you, like, some credit because you were affected by things bigger than yourself, or, like, yeah, there are more things, but you also don't want to dismiss the accountability of that single person.
And here's another biggest thing that, you know, that I still don't think he's a good person, is because, you know, even after that whole thing happened, when he finally came back into my life, like I mentioned it before, he tried to manipulate who I was,
right,
and be like, well, you can't dress this way, you can't do, and I'm like, dude, who the fuck are you? Like, who the fuck are you to tell me who the fuck I can or cannot be?
Mm-hmm.
Again, stopped talking to him for a few years, and now I'm still trying to have a relationship, or I'm not even trying, he's trying. I have no interest in it, and I sometimes feel bad because I see him trying, but then at the same time, like, no, why should I feel bad? Like, you're the motherfucker that fucked up.
Yeah.
You're the one that missed out on my years, and now because you want to be sentimental, I gotta bend for you.
I think it
doesn't make,
like,
sense.
I think I might have to maybe do something, like, and this is just, like, my idea or my theory. It's like, maybe it's kind of like that like that inner kid in us, like, you know, for me, I mean, at least for myself, like, I like the idea of, you know, being with both my parents or having a good relationship with both my parents, but right. in reality, it doesn't always work out like that.
Right.
So it's kind of like, you know, you're kind of like in this little tug of war.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. I think that kind of how you said is like my inner child wants to have that, but my adult self knows that it's not going to work. Because
from, and not only that, but from, it means having to accept and be okay with what happened.
You know what? And this is for another topic. Talk that we can talk about forgiveness and stuff. But again, I'm willing to forgive if a person has changed. But from what I've understood and from what I've heard from my brother, is that my dad still is abusive to his current partner.
Yeah, which is like, how much can you show you've changed?
Which again, he doesn't drink or do drugs anymore. He's been sober for I don't know how many years. He doesn't have alcohol. So I'm like, so then if alcohol and drugs are no longer the issue.
So then the reasoning he gave you, so it's like, okay, well, if that was your reasoning for the past, what is now? Like, oh, so this is just who you are.
Exactly. So to me, I'm like, no. So yeah, I mean I think that was my first introduction to physical and mental.
Yeah.
I mean, abuse.
I think a lot of us, for a lot of people, obviously their first relationship that they see is their parents.
Right.
You know, that's like the first idea that you have of love or romance or how relationships are supposed to turn out.
Right.
And I think it has a lot to do with how it influences how you see relationships.
Exactly.
And, you know, what you see in a partner or what you want in a partner.
Yeah.
Or what you ultimately accept, because sometimes it's, you accept what
you've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
doesn't mean it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And again,
so like, it's like relationships, like toxic relationships, not only have an impact on those two people involved in the relationship, has like a lasting effect on the people around.
Yeah.
You know,
especially if there's kids involved, obviously.
Exactly. And I think like with me and you, one of the worst things is like being a kid and not having any sense of authority or any sense of like input, or at least input that's valued.
Right.
It kind of leads me into my mom's next, or I think this was her next one. So her second relationship, she meets this guy, and I'm going to put him out there because I don't fucking like this guy. even if Drag it's him. My brother's dad, his name is Hector.
Okay. Fuck Hector. Fuck the bitch. Is he a boomer? He's probably a boomer. No, I'm kidding.
His name is Hector.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. I don't think I know how they met specifically. I want to say it was like a work related thing.
Okay.
Because he was also into real estate, which is what my mom was doing for a lot of years.
Okay.
So I think they met through work, and you know, they end up having a relationship. And I think it was more so the aftermath of their relationship that I was just like, what the fuck is going on? I remember he would get into a lot of stalking behavior.
Okay.
I remember we were living in a complex, and apartment complex, and like my mom would sometimes be like, hey, like, can you go outside and see if you see this car?
Yeah.
And like sometimes she would be like, oh, don't even go out all the way, like just go like because it was like a gated apartment. Mm-hmm. So she'd be like, oh, like just go outside and just kind of like scan around and just kind of see if you can see this car.
Yeah.
And that was just like that went on for like a long time, and it still does actually to this day.
Yeah.
But I remember like it was a lot of the fact that my mom felt like very powerless because she was trying to like end things with this guy, and he was like just continued to be very exploitative. They had So they ended up having a kid, which is my brother.
Right.
So unfortunately, she had to keep a lot of contact with him over the years. And, you know, he's done a lot of manipulative things, like trying to take custody of my brother just to, like, keep her from moving away.
Right.
He's tried to do that because my mom, I mean, now she's already left, but, you know, he was making it very hard for her when she was trying to move across the country. And he was like, oh, no, like, I'm going to take you to court and they're not going to let you leave. And, you know, all these things. And he's like contacting my grandparents or like my uncle, trying to get like the address of where my mom lives. Like, he's always trying to find out where and like where she is. And like, he just doesn't accept that, like, that, like, that relationship is, like, over.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, which kind of brings me into something I want to talk about toxic relationship, is, like, the never-ending cycle, which seems to happen with relationships.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, like I said, my parents were one of the first toxic relationship that I experienced, that I saw, that I witnessed, you know, growing up. My mom did have other relationships that were also not good. I mean, my sister's dad wasn't the greatest guy, but he wasn't the most toxic. I think one of the most toxic ones was someone that she dated after, which kind of got her into the drugs and the bad part of kind of where my mom had a really rough patch. I think it's something that impacted both my sisters and my brother negatively. My sister's not so much, but I think my brother was one of the ones that took the biggest hit. And it's kind of one of the ones that kind of has put a strain on mine and my brother's relationship, because every chance he gets, he reminds me of it. And to me, at first, it kind of bothered me, but at the end of the day, I kind of told him now, like, that's your trauma. You need to fix that shit. Like, that's something you need to go discuss, you know, because I've tried discussing it with him and he doesn't want to hear it. He just wants to go with what he believes is the truth. And his truth is the only truth. And so to me, I'm just like, well, I'm not here to fix your fucking issues. Go fix that shit yourself.
Get your shit together.
Get your shit together, bro. And figure it out.
Get your shit together. Get it all together.
Get it all together. Put it in a bag. Get your shit together. Like, literally.
Take it to the shit store. If you have to take it somewhere, take it somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Legit. So, you know, that obviously that relationship with my mom was also like a really toxic relationship. Like, the guy was very abusive. Just not physically. I think one time he tried physically. And that's that. I've only gotten in a fight. Well, never mind. I was gonna say I've only gotten in a fight a few, like, one time. But no, I've gotten in a fight with my brother physically.
Franco scraps, y'all. You ever seen that episode of George Lopez? Like, my grandbaby's a scrapper. You're a scrapper, bitch.
And she's so fucking stupid. And so, like, I've fought my brother in defending my mom. Not my proudest moment, you know, but I've learned to control my anger definitely a lot more, because I was a really, really angry man, really angry boy, a lot of anger. It's a wolf thing. And so, you know, I think that he tried coming inside the house and I was at the door and I was like, you're not coming in here. Shoved them. Beat his ass. The bad thing about that was that I blacked out because I was ready to, like, pull a knife and get, like, crazy. I think the only reason why I didn't do it was because my mom stopped me. Like, she pulled my hand and was like, you're not about to get into, like...
How old are you at the time?
I was in high school. 17? I was my senior year.
I think you were, like, 16, 17?
It was my senior year. 17.
Yeah, because I remember you were telling about this. I was like, bitch, what the fuck? I was like, what is your life right now?
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, and he was stalking her, too, doing all the things. You know, my mom was trying to leave, and he just kept coming back. And so I was like, I've had it. I beat his ass. Like, I've I remember my mom was like, you should have seen how you left him. Like, his face is so fucked up. He bit me. He bit my chest. And I was like, that motherfucker.
Bitch, he bit you?
Yeah. Oh, fucking no. Cheating ass bitch. Mind you, he's a thug. He was from the streets. So how did I beat him? I don't know. My gay ass somehow found the anger to beat his ass. I literally grabbed his face.
Channeled your Hulk.
Yeah, I honestly, like, grabbed his face. And you know how they have the textured walls? I grabbed his face and literally cheese grated it against the wall. And that was my treat for him. And I still have the scar for it, too. But yeah, I mean, obviously, like, all that toxic relationship, like, I was just like, how? You know? And yeah. To myself, I used to be like, well, how does that happen? But obviously, like I said, there's that never-ending cycle of like, oh, I'm going to leave you. And then they end up not leaving. And it's very, I mean, I see it with like Sammy and what the fuck is it? Ron. I was like, I forget the motherfucker's name. Ron.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of times from what I've heard is that they break up and get back together, break up, get back together. Mm-hmm. And I think I even told you, like, he's about to cry right now and legit started acting like the victim. And
I mean, if anything, like, I think what you can probably kind of tell from, I think from like your past and my past that I've seen, and I think even with like in life, like couples, and I think I remember learning this a long time ago where there's like that cycle, mm-hmm. there's like an actual cycle for it, which is like the honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't remember all the phases in that, but obviously it's like, everything starts out peachy keen.
Yeah.
Everything is great.
Yeah.
And, you know, smooth sailing. And then eventually you get to like the little rough area, and then it's kind of like a rough area and then resolution and then
honeymoon stage phase again. And then again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so on and so forth.
Yeah. And that's obviously that's a lot of what toxic relationships are is, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know if I made it sound, or I don't know, like, I think from us, like, those relationships that we just all talked about, like, with our parents and things like that, like, they did not get out of those relationships, obviously, very fast.
Right.
Like, my mom, they were together since they were 17, or they had me at 17.
Yeah.
And they were together, like I said, till I was 10 years old. So they were together for 10 years.
Yeah.
Her and the other guy, like I mentioned, they were together for a couple of years as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that kind of stuff just doesn't end quickly.
Yeah. And I mean, with my parents, I think it lasted about probably 7 years, because that's when my dad got sent to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason why it stopped, I mean, they had broken up a little months before that happened.
Yeah.
And my dad just became like the stalker, because before that he was cheating and lying, and he even told my mom, like, oh yeah, like I slept with women, I don't give a fuck, like I very much Ron, like I don't give a fuck, da 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 da, just like I fucked women, I don't give a shit. And then, you know, eventually my mom just got tired and was like, you know what, I'm over it, we're breaking up. And from that point on, he was like, I'm sorry, please forgive me, blah, blah, blah. And eventually, yeah, that didn't work. So then what did he resort to? The violence and the anger and the name calling.
I was
going to
say that. Have you ever heard a man be like, oh, well, like, I guess more so in the sense, like, from like, probably, you've probably heard this more about somebody who's been verbally abusive, but have you ever heard of like an excuse where somebody is like, oh, well, at least I don't hit, or like, I would never laid my hand on them, yeah, or whatever. You, yeah, know what I mean? Like, they're trying to downplay, like, oh, well, just because they never hit somebody doesn't, right, mean that, or like they're never hit their partner shit, doesn't mean that they're shit.
Yeah. 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 So, you know, like I said, all that happened, and then it finally led up to my dad choking my mom. He was trying to kill her. And one of my cousins was coming home late and happened to look over to the side of the apartment complex and saw my mom. And my mom was like trying to like call out to his name, but she was being choked out. So she was like blacking out. And my mom's cousin came over and helped her. And yeah, and so, you know, that very same night she called the cops and she said enough's enough. They arrested him. And, you know, I think the next day she told me what happened and she told me that my dad had gone to jail. And to this day, I hate, I mean, here's the thing. I was a kid. I was 7 years old. So my response to my mom was, I hate you. You took my dad away.
I mean, you don't know at the time.
Like. Right. And so her friend stepped in and was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Chill the fuck out. Would you like your dad to have killed your mom? Because that's what he was doing. Had your mom not called the cops or had your cousin not arrived, your mom would be dead. Would you be okay with that? And I was like, well, no, never mind. And then I was like, I'm sorry, mom. I didn't mean to say it. So then ever since then, I was like, my view of my dad was completely different. And it's weird because if you think about it, like I was like, obviously I had been abused by this man, but yet up until that point, I still idolized that man, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And
again, it's like that. It's because like when you're a kid, your parents and your like immediate family are kind of like all you have.
Yeah.
And so when that stuff kind of happens, you kind of want to overlook a lot.
Yeah.
Just because of like, well, this is my dad or this is my parent. This is the only mom or the only dad I have.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And
you,
I think
you want to be able to try to overlook it, but
you know what? And I think also the biggest thing for me was that I always tried to prove myself to my dad because even growing up, obviously, like I said, very sissy, just very gay. Like there's no denying it. I was always very, very delicate. I didn't like fighting. I didn't like violence. I didn't like a lot of the things that my dad tried to teach me. So, you know, my grandma raised me. So she made me very, very soft. If that makes sense. I don't want to say soft because that's not, definitely not what I am.
Like emotionally receptive.
Right. And so when my brother was born, my dad's like, oh, you're not raising him because you already raised this one. And look at how this one turned out.
Yeah.
His words. So then obviously, like I said, just all that resentment that I have, I'm like, that's probably another reason why I'm just like, fuck my dad.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, I mean, like, look at that. Like, clearly, even though, like, that happened so long ago, I think it's still, like, it's still, like, obviously, it affects you because you've still, you know, I think from you talking right now, like, you still get emotional about it. So
yeah.
I think, like, that's why I'm saying, like, it's insane how much of a lasting effect that those kind of things have. And I was going to mention this since we're talking about, like, you know, the relationships and family. Not only that, relationships or, I mean, things that you find out later on.
Later. Yeah.
Like, you find out family business, you know. It's one of those things in life where, like, it's like an unofficial rule book. Like, once you hit adulthood, it's like, hey, girl, everybody starts, let's start telling you the family secrets. You're old enough to learn
right.
everything that's wrong with our fucking family.
Exactly.
You know?
And that's one of the things about growing up Mexican is that very much put everything under the rug. Just sweep it all under the rug. And never happened.
Never happened. That under the rug starts looking like a camel. Like a camel.
Right. Looks like a fucking pile of shit. Starting to look like a pile of shit, girl.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I was mentioning that because, you know, and I think I told you this recently as I was finding it out because I was like, I need to tell somebody this information. You know, when I was finding out about, I think I've talked about my grandpa, you know, after my grandma passing and everything. And my mom was like, you know, being very sentimental with, you know, because that's her mom passing. And so she decided to be like more open with me about a lot of the things that she went through growing up. My grandpa being very like physically, emotionally abusive. You know, it's been very serious where like you know, either her or like my uncle, her brother, ended up would need like hospital care or things like that. So it was a very, very hard time. But she would also tell me about like how bad the relationship was, or, you know, how machismo he was with like my grandma. And, you know, they had like that very, I guess, like stereotypical kind of relationship that somebody like of a Latin background would know.
Right.
You know, very a very machista person, a man. And then the wife at home, you know, my grandma would always like, you know, just be at the house cooking and like, you know, having dinner prepped and right. all this stuff. And my mom would just tell me about like how he would just be very emotionally manipulative sometimes. I remember she told me this story where he was like, you know, he would tell her like, oh, get ready to go out. We're going to go dancing. And that was something that my grandma loved to do when she was younger. She just loved to dance. And there'd be times where he would just like get her excited like that. And then be like, he would come home and be like, not even take her out. Like, yeah. What are you ready for? And it's just like, you know, why? you know, it's just kind of like it just leads you to have more questions. It's yeah. like, why would you even like tell me all this?
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing about toxic relationships is like kind of you mentioned how some guys will say, well, I didn't touch you. But toxic relationships can be physical and emotional abusive. Yeah,
exactly.
You know, sometimes the emotional starts in the beginning
mm-hmm.
and then comes the physical. Sometimes it starts with the physical and then eventually comes the emotional. I don't think they're exclusive. I think it can be a combination of both, or it can be just one. You know, sometimes if a man doesn't hit a woman, doesn't mean
yeah.
necessarily that.
And it goes vice versa, you know?
Right.
I think that's one thing that I think I want to make clear, because I think from my personal stories and like my experiences, a lot of these situations are coming from men, but that right. doesn't exclude
women.
Like, yeah. Abusing being an men. Abuser.
Yeah. 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 Definitely.
Because that can definitely happen to anybody.
I mean,
whether gay, straight, you know,
yeah. I mean,
any kind of relationship that I can mean, be,
just recently Amber Heard and Johnny Depp, you know,
yeah,
it's a,
I mean, that was like one of the biggest freaking cases ever.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, you know, I think one of the biggest things about toxic relationships is the gaslighting that happens in those toxic relationships.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Ron is, I mean, I hate talking about him, but perfect example of gaslighting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do you like that's something that's kind of like talked about more these days? Because like, I think that's something that people talk about a lot in perspective to different kinds of relationships, whether like with parents or with an intimate partner or whoever. Like, it seems like that's kind of more of a conversation people are happening.
Yeah.
Are having nowadays.
Yeah. I think that's kind of what I like also about TikTok too, is like a lot of people are
social media for the win.
Social media, girl. A lot of people are having these conversations of where, like, sometimes, you know, being gaslit by your own family, mm-hmm. your grandparents, mm-hmm. your parents, your siblings, whatever the situation is like, gaslighting happens not just in like romantic relationships, but also in with your immediate family,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
But with relationships and now I'm talking from my perspective, from what I experienced. I mean, I've mentioned my toxic ex, which my most toxic ex is a damn Gemini.
Bitch, are you fucking all your things are dealing with zodiac signs? You're like the Leo and then like
right
the Gemini.
The Leo, the Gemini, and then I have an Aquarius. That was another toxic relationship.
Yeah.
Listen, the Aquarius was so young in my life. I was
isn't that crazy? Like, do you kind of think about like, you know, being glad that you got out of that, because like, you know, that was like very young. I think like,
girl,
you
were very young. 15 the things years you went old.
Through. I mean, go ahead. I'll let you spill your thing. But
So the Aquarius would always gaslight me. Very much a gaslighter. Would always ask to hang out. But again, my mom was very strict. So it's like, I can't hang out. And then when I could hang out, he's like, well, I can't hang out. Okay. But mind you, he would stay after school and do other things. So it's like, well, it's not that he couldn't. It's just he didn't want to because he wanted to basically get back at me for not being able to hang out when he wanted. A lot of our relationship was when he wanted. Never when we all, whenever neither one of us could. It's just like when I want to.
Yeah. Fuck your drag.
Right. I remember a lot of the times I used to like cry on the phone with him and I'm like, what do you want from me? And he'd be like, Frankie, why are you acting this way? Like, why are you crying? Why are you upset? Like, I'm like,
excuse me. And you know what the craziest thing is like, wouldn't he ask you these things, but like make it sound like really genuine? Like he's genuinely like, why are you crying? Like,
yeah.
You know, it's like the delivery, the way that yeah. that the message gaslighting, is being given.
Making me feel like I was crazy.
I mean, let me ask you this. Like, I've never had anything to like this kind of extent where like I've had a really, really toxic relationship of my own.
Mm-hmm.
But like, how easy was it for you to like, I mean, did you feel crazy at some point? Or like, did it ever feel like it was kind of starting to get to you where you were asking yourself that?
In the beginning, it felt very like, am I overreacting?
Like, does it feel easy? Like, you could see how easy it is for someone to kind of
fall into the gaslighting. Yeah. I mean, I did it again later with the Gemini. I fell into the gaslighting. I was a victim of gaslighting and I was a victim of manipulation. And I'll get into the Gemini in a little bit. I'll drag his ass in a little bit.
Stay tuned, guys.
Stay tuned. But yeah, just the Aquarius is just, it was a month, 1 month relationship.
And what in a month it was.
It was a long ass month. I already told you guys that I eventually got back at him. My senior year, you know, I glowed up. He came around, was like, oh, let's have sex. Invited him over, left them with blue balls, and was like, get the fuck out. So, Chris.
Good for you.
Chris,
As you should.
Chris, pop if you're off, listening bitch. Out there, you're welcome, ma'am. You're welcome, sir. Hope you're doing okay.
Yeah. I remember, sincerely, like, that was something to go through at what, 15?
Yeah. And to think that, obviously, like, this obviously also has to do with my background with toxic relationships of dealing or seeing my mom go through toxic relationships.
Yeah. Isn't it like insane that it could just be that easy to kind of, I don't want to say like be a number or be a statistic, but do you get what I'm trying to say?
Oh,
like,
for
like
sure.
Have it happen to you.
Listen, because everybody's always like, it could never happen to me. A lot of people always say
there
that.
It is.
And there it is. And eventually you fall trap of that.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's very easy to say it'll never happen to me, or, you know, I'm too smart.
Yeah,
to...
I mean, it's easy to say that for a lot of things, like, oh, it won't be me, it won't be me. But like, I don't think you realize that, like, hey, now you are part of the statistic, or you're part of the number of people now. You know what I'm saying? Because like, by the time you realize it's happening, it's like, whoa, like, you're already deep into it.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, gaslighting, I mean, again, Ron, you know, from what I understood or from what you told me, is like he cheated in Miami or something.
Yeah, it was just kind of like he would be like, go and do his thing, hooking up with girls, and then he would come home and be like, oh, I love you, I want to be with you, da 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 da.
And so was she aware of that? That he hooked up with somebody?
No.
Or they're just getting a fight?
It was that I think you know about the note, right? Somebody wrote a note and
No, but before that.
She didn't know anything. Nothing. She didn't know anything about what happened. Up until...
Okay, so when it was happening, when he was cheating,
uh-huh.
She wasn't aware.
No.
Right? But how did he get away from her? Did he fight with her?
Yeah.
And then
he would like argue with her and then like
go hook
send
up.
Her home, or like they would argue at the house and he would be like, all right, I'm going out.
And then that's when he would
and
hook up.
And that's when it would happen, yeah.
Okay.
And then like so then anytime he would like... She would ask her, I mean, anytime she would ask him, like, oh, did you do anything or did you hook up? He'd be like, no. But then he like made out with a girl and he did like this, that, or the other. And like, that's kind of where like a lot of her self-doubt was kind of coming in, because like she would ask him directly and like the response that you give, like, oh no, or like, you're crazy, or I'm over here coming home to you, and da 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 da. So you know what I'm saying? Like trying to like say that or give her emotional comfort to be like, you know, justify what he's doing.
Right. Right. Okay. Yeah. So that's one of the biggest thing is when you're in a toxic relationship, the gaslighting is like always on. It's like you're constantly being gaslit. Like it's just a constant thing.
Yeah. And you feel like that, like it's just to make you doubt everything, just to make you so doubtful that you don't even know anything
what's the anymore. Truth. Exactly. You become so confused and so doubtful of everything that you don't know what's the truth anymore. You start feeling like you're the crazy one, like you're the one that's overreacting. So this Gemini,
here it is, you guys.
Have I talked about him before?
I don't think you have talked about him, but I don't think you've ever like really delved deep into the
I mentioned the cheating at the beginning of the relationship.
Yeah, you've mentioned those kind of things, like kind of like those parts, but I don't think you mentioned like how, like just how bad it's really ever gotten.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned also like I stopped talking to my friends, which, you know, I was looking at an article from Times, and I think it was Times. Hold on, let me look. I don't want to freaking quote the wrong
thing. She's fact checking.
Yeah, Time. You know, obviously, like, what is a toxic relationship? Whatever. But, like, what makes a toxic relationship? So it says, people who consistently undermine or cause harm to a partner, whether intentionally or not, often have a reason for their behavior, even if it's subconscious. You know, there's obviously, there's, like, signs of toxic relationships. And one of the signs was, like, if a relationship stops bringing you joy, and instead makes you sad, angry, anxious, or feeling like you've sold out, or feeling envious of happy couples. So I mentioned before how he basically cut me off from all my friends. He cut me off from you, from Diana, from all my other friends. And so I was basically, all I knew was him and his friends.
Yeah.
Which his friends did not like me and would aid him in gaslighting me and making me feel like I was crazy. There's this one bitch named Karen. She was a fucking Karen. She wasn't white. Fucking Ana Karen. Fuck the bitch. Because she legit hated me and would find ways for him to help him gaslight me and make me feel like I was crazy. And so, you know, and a lot of the times, like, there was good parts of the relationship, obviously, honeymoon stage. But, like I mentioned before, he always had secret Facebooks. And I didn't find out about the secret Facebooks until towards the end.
Yeah.
When I kind of just started trying to click everything together. But before that, he was like constantly like, oh, let me see your phone. Let me see your Facebook. I need to have the password to your Facebook. He used to hack my Facebook and post like, oh, this is so-and-so.
So-and-so was here.
Bitch, I'm going to say the name. Ivan. Fuck. I mean, I've said it before.
Secret identity revealed.
I'm just going to say Ivan. I won't say his last name in case, you know, whatever.
But like, if they find him, then that's just the Lord's word.
That's just the Lord's word.
Detectives.
They're detectives. Detective. He would post like, oh, this is Ivan on my boyfriend's Facebook. I love you so much, babe. Blah, 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 blah.
Disgusting.
So like making it seem like, or like, letting everybody know he's taken. Mind you, I didn't have the password to his Facebook. Or if I did, I had the fake Facebook.
One of the many.
Which if you go on Facebook and look up his name, and his last name, or his middle name, and his last name, you'll probably find like three different profiles. Because the girl can never stay consistent with one profile before he ends up having to use another one. Because obviously, his other one is tainted, full of men. He can't
keep up which one's which.
Not even that. It's just the fact that he has too many men hitting him up and sending him dick pictures and whatever. Mm-hmm. That when he finally gets in a relationship, he needs a clean one that doesn't have all those nasty things.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it was that, and
it was like cut off from like friends and I kind of like family too, because you were seeing your family like way less.
I would see my family way less. He loved to dance, and so at the time it was still when I was still undocumented. So I didn't have an ID to go out clubbing. Mind you, this is my senior year. So I was 17 going into 18. So I had already turned 18. I was 18 turning 19 because my senior year. So I got held back. Not my senior year, but I got held back. Whatever. Anyways, my senior year, I was already 18 years old. So at the time he was going clubbing in West Hollywood, which for those of you guys that know, Arena used to be in a club that would not ID.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was like the... They were like
all ages club,
all ages night.
So they wouldn't check ID. They would just, you would just go in. So I didn't know about that. And so he would always go there and say, well, you don't have an ID, so you can't go. So I was like, okay.
Which you would think like, you know, like if like your partner or whoever couldn't go out, you'd be like, oh, well, you know, for that kind of reason, we're like, because they don't have an ID. Well, it's like, well, you know, they don't they have this limitation, you know, because like it's not like he didn't know,
right?
You know, so it's like you would think like, oh, hey, well, I'll kick back or whatever. But even, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And this is the thing. He could have even gone out on his own. Like, it's not a big deal. But it was like every other weekend or every weekend. And it was like, you know.
Yeah, I get you.
I think one time he was like, oh, he kind of did the same thing your grandpa did the first time. Because he was like, oh, get ready, we're going to go to the club. And then he was like, oh, never mind, they're actually checking ID, so you can't go. As we were waiting for the bus to go to the
club. He was trying to sell you the fantasy. He was trying to make it good, make it believable.
Right. Which now that I think back at it, I'm like, damn, he really just... made me believe like he was already intending on taking me, but then was like, oh, never mind, they're checking, so you can't go, so that I wouldn't be sus about it, you know.
It's crazy how like that kind of goes down with like somebody in a toxic relationship. I think that's like one of the signs that can go unnoticed or unchecked. I think the people that notice it are always the people on like looking at it from an outside perspective, the isolation. Because in that sense, like when what you were going through was like you had somebody who was isolating you,
yeah,
from like everything,
and then
like in person, like talking, like you couldn't talk to anybody.
Yeah. And when I finally was like, well, since you're gonna go out, I'm gonna go visit Diana, he's like, oh, never mind, I don't feel like going, I think I should stay with you, do you want to go with Diana?
It's like you were under the radar.
Right. He's like, oh, no, no, he can't go.
No believable, or like there was nothing to,
Mama.
You know, there was no justification for the behavior.
Exactly. Except his own guilt.
Which, you know, led to the whole thing about like the cheating and you finding out and thus like led to a breakup. But it's like,
yeah,
it's like not that you wanted to like be right or, you know, be right about that situation and how that played out, but you're just like, okay, so I wasn't crazy.
Right. Right. And I think that leading up to the breakup was kind of when I, like I said, I started clicking and putting things together. And you know, even that night that he first left to the club when he was like gonna take me and then was like, oh, never mind, you can't go. Even his mom was like, well, if he can't go, you might as well stay home. Like, it doesn't seem fair.
See? I mean, was it a sense for you, like, somebody who's, like, been in a toxic relationship? Like, was it a sense of, like, I guess, like, were you sad, like, a regular breakup, but also relieved at the same time? Because you're just like, well, at least I know for, like, I guess, like, for your own mental health, you're like, okay, like, I am not
like wrong. Was I sad for the breakup?
Yeah.
I wasn't sad.
No.
I wasn't. I had reached the point where I just was over it. I was sad. I cried, and and I went through an emotional roller coaster. Mind you, I dated this motherfucker for 9 months. The longest 9 months of my life.
I bet.
And I used to cry to him. I used to sit there and cry. And we used to do the whole crying, fighting, and then eventually the makeup.
The cycle.
By the time I broke up with him, like, I wasn't sad. I was ready.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Like, did you have people trying to help you out of that situation even before, like, you found everything out? And, just recognizing, like, that, just the behavior.
People
was, like, trying to pull you out. Because, like, I guess what I'm trying to get into is kind of, like, before we kind of go into the wrap-up, is, like, how hard it is for some people to, like, get out. Because it's not that nobody tries to help. Because I think for a lot of people in situations, there is somebody, like a friend or a family member, neighbor, whoever, that notices these kind of things and always try to lend a hand, you know, or try to get you out of that situation.
Right. Yeah, no. There's friends who obviously, like, saw that I isolated myself and stuff. But
I mean, bitch, I was over there, one of them, trying to tell you, like, hey, bitch, like, you know, like, you're just letting this person control your every fucking facet of your life.
And that is the main word, control. Because, like I said, when his mom told him that, knowing he knew that I cared about him, that he was like, oh, well, yeah, I guess I can say I was really looking forward to going.
It's like guilt tripping, like, oh, well, and because I was like, of you, I can't do
and so I was
something
like,
I want.
I was like, no, baby, it's okay. You can go. It's fine. I'll just stay here. I'll have a family night with your family. I'll watch movies with your brother and your sister. I legit stayed home and watched movies with his brother and sister.
Yeah.
Spent more time than the motherfucker spent with his own family. Yeah. So by the time I broke up with him, his family hated him. And he even told me, if they find out that we're going to break up, they're going to hate me because they know that you're a good guy. To the point where obviously the manipulation came in. At first it was like trying to do the emotional stuff, but eventually that didn't work. So he tried the whole suicide thing. Like, you leave, I'm going to kill myself. Legit pulled out a knife.
And it's kind of like that all out last stop on emotional, like the emotional abuse. Cause it's like, it's kind of like they're trying to throw a line and see if the hook sinks in.
Right. I mean, it goes down to behavior. It goes down to human behavior.
Yeah. Does it get them the result they want? And if it does, then it's like, they're just going to keep doing it.
Right.
Because they know that's what gets you.
Yeah. And so, you know,
I think like I said, from kind of seeing you and seeing the relationships around me and things like that. And I've been on that side too, of trying to help people in like different relationships and things like that.
Yeah.
All you can do is provide support. It's not always easy for somebody to, like, you can offer everything in the world, but like, you know, like, I've got an extra bedroom, you can come stay with me, you don't have to pay anything.
Yeah.
You know, you could make it to like where it can be a smooth transition for them. Like, it sounds logical, but for that person, it's not just as easy as like just walking out, you know?
Right.
It takes a journey for them to make that final decision.
It kind of goes back to kind of how, you know, we've talked before, how even if you give someone advice on their relationship, they're really not going to listen.
Yeah.
Until they're ready to listen.
Yeah.
You know? And that's one of the biggest thing. Like you said, even if you provide them all the safe transition, to them it's not safe, because you don't know how crazy their ex is. Like, if they're getting stalked, if they're getting followed,
that,
if they're
or
getting,
the, it could be that, or it could just be the fact that
they're still emotionally invested.
Yeah. But like, I think the best thing you can do is to just kind of be there, be like the emotional support for them. Mind you, that's not the easiest place to be, because it can also be draining on you.
Yeah.
But all you can do is that, and like, you know, resources if you have them, like, you know, phone numbers or like shelters or, you know, food banks, things like that.
Just,
you know,
just always remember, you know, obviously seeking help is always the hardest to someone who's going through an abuse. Especially for people who are queer. Yeah. Because obviously, like, how are you in the world that we live in? You call the cops and they're like, well, I'm being bothered by this man. You know, sexist, they're going to be, or like, you know, homophobic, they're going to be like, well, why don't you just kick his ass? Like, you're a man, stand up for yourself. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it might be like also from, like, multiple reasons why, like, even for getting help, like, some people might not try to get it, like, from police.
Right.
Like, people can be in relationships that are, like, abusive, they can be less likely to call police. Because, especially if they're, like, a woman, you know? I've heard, like, horror stories of, like, you know, women who are not able to call the cops. Because, like, and sometimes their husband or whoever is also a cop. And, like, oh, what? I'm going to call his buddies and they're going to make a report. Yeah. Like,
not only that, but speaking from experience, when my mom did call the cops on my sister's dad, all they did was they took him out from the house the night, and they're like, oh, spend the night outside or spend the night somewhere else and then come back tomorrow. But that's it. So it's like, if a person is being physically abused and they get removed, the person gets removed for that night, but he's still going to come back and then hit her the next day.
You get what I'm saying? It's also hard, like, if you're like a queer person, anybody like on in the LGBTQ like community.
Yeah.
I think it could also be hard for you to reach out for help, especially from like police.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you never know. It's just one of those things where like, you don't know how this person's going to react to you.
Right.
Because homophobia, bitch. We're just not. Yeah. I say homophobia. Like, you know, we're not there as a society yet where you can be like, oh yeah, like my sexuality is not a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, but you don't know how somebody's going to react and how that will influence how much they'll want to help you.
Yeah. I saw a statistic that said 26% of gay men and 37% of bisexual men experience rape, stalking, and violence from an intimate partner.
That's insane.
Which is crazy, you know? So, I mean,
I want to say you're going through that right now because over there he's still adding you on Facebook,
which is
a new account,
which is the reason why I thought about this topic. I was like, this is a perfect topic, toxic relationships and exes.
I think we were just like brainstorming ideas where we're like, oh, like we, you know,
you were watching Jersey Shore and then I thought about my ex
and then I thought about my family and we're like, wait, we actually like, I think this is something we can kind of really give a good perspective on from different angles.
So, you know, to this day, it's been 11 years since we broke up, and to this day, he still adds me. I block every single one of his accounts.
Still feels guilt for everything he did.
I think I have him on Snapchat. He'll randomly send me a video of him like drunk and singing.
Oh God, you don't need it, girl.
Girl,
you don't
need it. Listen, I'm tired of blocking. I've blocked so many Facebook accounts, so many Instagram accounts, so many Snapchat accounts. To this point, I'm just like,
if any of our listeners out there are work in a legal office, if you want to give Franco some advice on how to get a restraining order, because I feel like that's what you might need at this point.
Girl, I mean, it's been 11 years, mama.
Like, but, let it go,
but,
man.
But look, it goes to show, when you have it, girl.
And when you don't?
You don't.
You just don't.
Your exes just don't look for you, you know?
Yeah. Missing out.
Missing out. Pussy tight,
pussy like, you'll never have this pussy again.
Yeah. I mean, again, if anybody is going through any similar, you know, situation,
I think hopefully
listening to this kind of gives you a little bit of perspective and a little bit more insight of kind of what you're going through and kind of.
Or if just, you're seeing somebody else going through this.
Right. And just know that there's such thing as gaslighting and you don't have to feel like you're crazy.
Yeah.
Trust yourself, because at the end of the day, you need to trust yourself, girl. And there's an instinct in us that tells us when something is wrong and you need to listen to that instinct.
Yeah.
So hopefully hearing our experiences from our family to, I mean, my toxic ass relationships has given you guys a little bit of insight and you know,
hopefully resonated with you guys that, that like, this is just something that happens.
Yeah,
it's not obviously it's not something to be ashamed of. Yeah, it's not like the best thing or like the most comfortable thing to be able to talk about, but
right.
You know, just us being here, we want to be able to have like these conversations because that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
And you know, when we're here to break that all down and
yeah,
let you know that it does happen and it happens to
even the best people. Of us, you know, no. Us Capricorns.
It happens to others as well.
Yeah. I just want to leave the National Domestic Violence Hotline, which is a 24-hour guidance line. It's 1-800-799-7233. You know, you guys are more than welcome to reach out to them. They specialize, obviously, in domestic violence and stuff and guiding yeah. you through this crazy situation. So obviously, if you need help, always, you know, reach out to them, reach out to friends, reach out to family.
Yeah,
never be scared to reach out for help.
Their help, you know, help is out there.
Yeah, help's always out there.
So it's kind of like reminds you of like Harry Potter, right? Like help will always be given.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
just seek those supports out there that are around you, and you know, I guarantee you there will be somebody there for you.
Yeah,
because like, you know, me growing up and us growing up, no matter who we saw, you know, I waited for this bitch. I was like trying to be there for him when he was going through all his stuff and, you know, telling him everything throughout, and then was there for him in the end.
Yeah.
As well as Diana.
Yeah. 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 So
help is out there. So yeah. Don't be afraid to reach out for it.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you guys very much for listening to this episode.
Yeah.
I know it's probably a little heavier than some of the other episodes we've done.
Girl, I was over here crying, so.
Yeah.
but yeah,
I love being real with you guys. And
yeah.
And Franco, I think Franco especially, like, thank you so much for sharing a lot of what you've been through. You've been through a lot.
Hats off to.
Now, we're going to get off now so Franco can go emotionally collect himself together.
I'm going to go eat some ice cream. My comfort food.
Thank you guys.
But yeah, thank you guys. You know, keep listening. Next week will be a lighter.
Back to the funny.
Back to the funny. Back to the dick talking.
The hee hee ha.
The hee hee ha ha's and all that good stuff. But thank you guys so much for listening. We love you guys, and we will see you guys on the next one.
See you guys.
Bye.